Hello, everyone. Welcome to Lab Medicine's podcast series. My name is Kelly Swales, and I'm the web editor for Lab Medicine. Joining us today is Dr. Christopher Tormey. He's an associate professor of laboratory medicine at the Yale University School of Medicine, and he's going to talk about the effects of radiation on red blood cell alloimmunization.
Hello, my name is Chris Tormey, and I'm an associate professor of laboratory medicine at the Yale University School of Medicine and the VA Connecticut Healthcare System, where I'm a transfusion medicine specialist. During my day-to-day practice of blood banking, it is quite common for me to encounter clinicians who request irradiated blood components for their patients. However, there remains a general lack of understanding about why blood product irradiation is needed, how it works, and the negative ramifications of this practice. As such, the topic of today's podcast is the irradiation of blood products. During the course of the podcast, I'll be covering some basic facts about why we irradiate blood components, the side effects of irradiation, and finally discuss some data that my group at Yale and the VA generated regarding irradiation of red blood cell units and whether this component modification increases risks for blood group antigen alloimmunization. Blood product irradiation is performed to prevent transfusion-associated graft versus host disease. In select patient populations, particularly those that are significantly immunosuppressed or immunocompromised, donor lymphocytes present in blood components can engraft in recipients following transfusion. Engrafted donor lymphocytes can then mediate a severe form of graft versus host disease that carries an extremely high mortality rate, approaching 90% of affected individuals. By irradiating blood components, we inhibit the proliferative capacity of donor lymphocytes in the unit, thereby preventing their ability to engraft in transfusion recipients. Irradiation is applied only to cellular blood components, such as red blood cells, platelets, and granulocytes, and is typically reserved for patients with severe congenital or acquired immunodeficiency disorders, including those receiving medical therapies which suppress their immune systems. There are two primary varieties of irradiators used by blood banks, gamma irradiators and X-ray devices. Overall, gamma-emitting devices are arguably the most common and popular instruments used in the U.S. and will be the focus of our podcast today. In general, a gamma irradiator has a radiation source such as cesium or cobalt, which a blood component is exposed to in a lead-lined self-contained device. Radiation exposure times can vary from instrument to instrument, with the basic goal that blood products receive a minimal radiation dose of 25 gray to the center of the bag and a minimum dose of 15 gray to other non-central bag parts. These radiation doses are per the recommendation of national guidelines and should ensure inhibition of donor lymphocyte proliferation for at-risk transfusion recipients. While the practice of gamma irradiation is widely used and essential for the prevention of transfusion-associated graft versus host disease, it is not without complications. One of the major limitations in irradiating blood components, particularly red blood cell products, is that potassium accumulates more rapidly in these components during storage as compared with non-irradiated units. Given this potassium accumulation, U.S. blood banks utilize a 28-day rule for irradiated red blood cell units, such that the shelf life of the irradiated product is shortened to 28 days or its original expiration date, whichever comes sooner. In addition to this potassium leakage, it has also been found that the cellular contents of gamma irradiated units suffer some damage. For instance, several studies have shown that reactive oxygen species are increased in irradiated red blood cell units, and that such damage can be associated with membrane disruptions and increased red blood cell clearance following transfusion. The damage done to red blood cells by irradiation and the resultant increase in red cell clearance could have unanticipated consequences for transfusion recipients. In addition to potentially blunting their therapeutic efficacy, there are some data in animal models suggesting that damaged red blood cells have enhanced immunogenicity. In other words, techniques used to damage red blood cells in animal models led to stronger and more robust alloantibody responses to foreign blood group antigens, with the membrane damage perhaps acting as a danger signal to the recipient's immune system to drive the antibody response. Given that there are clear perturbations to the red blood cell membrane that are caused by gamma irradiation, we wondered whether such damage would result in increased alloimmunization rates among the recipients of irradiated red blood cell units in a human population. As such, we undertook an extensive retrospective investigation of non-ABO albinization rates, comparing antibody formation among patients who received gamma-irradiated red blood cells and those receiving standard non-irradiated units. Overall, we found a 2% albinization rate for recipients of irradiated components versus a 2.5% albinization rate for recipients of non-irradiated components. There was no statistically significant difference between these rates. Surprisingly, we also found that the majority of recipients of irradiated components were non-immunosuppressed individuals. This likely reflected the modest size of the blood bank inventory at the study site, where units irradiated for one patient but not used are frequently transfused to other patients. Given our data, it would appear that the damage done by irradiation does not substantially impact the immune response to foreign red blood cell antigens, including immune responses in a primarily immunocompetent patient population. Our results are reassuring and suggest that the practice of irradiation should not create additional immunization complications for patients who are chronically transfused or for those who may be more prone to making blood group antibodies after transfusion. In summary, blood component irradiation is an important modification applied to cellular blood products in order to prevent transfusion-associated graft-versus-host disease. Risks of this practice include increased potassium accumulation, as well as some damage to cellular membranes. However, the damage associated with irradiation does not appear to increase risks for albinization to non-ABO blood group antigens. Thank you for your time and listening to this podcast on blood component irradiation. I hope that you have found the content to be educational.